Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
All right, so welcome to The Bridge. My name is David Lesner. This is DMAC up here leading music. We have an awesome service for you today. Now, a couple of ministry announcements that we have that we really think will benefit your life and your discipleship going forward. If you missed last week's worship, there's going to be a table set up out there that we recorded it, so we want everyone to see it. You have your choice of VHS or beta, depending on which one that you would like to, or which player you have at home. The church has decided to take a spiritual renewal retreat, and we've decided to do it with some class this year. So we're going to the most luxurious destination in Texas, Mineral Wells. When you sign up, make sure you take the yellow copy for your own records, and we'll keep the pink copy for that. And we like to save on gas because there's a shortage. And so if anybody has a room in their Yugo or Gremlin that you can pack some people in, that would be awesome. Special congratulations and celebrations today, though. The church staff was able to purchase 3 new Commodore computers for use in the office, and the youth room got 4 new Ataris complete with Pong, and they are very stoked about that. Thank you for all those who donated. The church was also blessed recently as the trustees approved a new longer-lasting brand of paint that's based in lead for the preschool. So the kids are going to have bright walls to look at for a lot longer. One prayer request, Pastor David has gone to the hospital. We're not sure what the cause of the infection was, but the hospital staff has done a wonderful job of attaching leeches to his body so that it will bleed out the evil spirits. Please pray for his quick recovery. And to get a complete listing of announcements, go check out the church's MySpace page whenever you have an opportunity. Now, lastly, we do want to give a special shout-out because we are about the world as well. We know football season is coming up, and Emmitt Smith, when he carries the ball, will officially be the oldest running back by 7 years to have ever run the football in the NFL. Now, can you imagine? Now, not that these are the most important things in life, but imagine your life without your iPhone or without 4G service. How many of you complain that you have 3G service still? How many of you have a phone that looks like this still? Did you know that Mineral Wells used to be a hot vacation destination? Now, I want to raise your hand if you ever had a MySpace page. Come on, admit it. I had a MySpace page. Raise your hand if you've deleted it within the last 3 years or something like that. Yeah, MySpace doesn't exist anymore. And then, as bad as you think the Cowboys are now, what would it look like with 340-somethings out there running the offense? No offense to the 40-somethings in the crowd, but things change. And it's not just that things change, it's that there's always something better out there. There's always some improvement we can make. See, last week we talked about the greatness of the people who say yes to following Jesus and embarking on risk-taking discipleship. And today I want to continue that by saying, what does our yes mean that we have to say no to? And so I want to read our scripture. And in fact, I want to read this scripture all together. The scripture is going to be on the screen. And so if you'll follow along with me as we read it on the screen, this is from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. It says, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, read it together with me, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, to contrast this a little bit, I'm going to go and I'm going to read. I want you to hear what you just read. And we're going to read a passage from Luke as well. This is from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. If you're following along, you can follow on the screen as well. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, do you notice the difference? between those two calling stories. In both of those situations, Jesus is out recruiting disciples. He's calling people to his way of life and to follow his teachings, to follow the rabbi along this way, to get caked in the dust of a rabbi because they're learning so much and soaking up and doing everything that the master is doing. And we've got these two accounts. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer has recently become one of my most influential theologians. I encourage you to go read the book Cost of Discipleship if you want to learn what being a disciple is about. And in The Cost of Discipleship, he examines this Luke passage, and he especially highlights the first and the third guy in the Luke passage, but all of them, that they want to follow Christ, and they have said yes. But their yes comes with conditions. Their yes comes at their own initiative. They want to follow Christ, but they want to decide the time, they want to decide the place, they want to decide the destination, and they want to decide the conditions that they're going to say yes and no to within the framework of Christ. Now, our yes is important, but look at the calling story in Matthew. In Matthew, disciples are called. They do not volunteer. In Matthew, no one goes to Jesus first and says, I know all the answers. I will plan your program. I will build a strategic plan. I will set up a new worship service. I will do everything. Don't worry about it, Jesus. I got this. In Matthew, Jesus says, you. And the people say, yes. Christ calls first. And in Matthew, disciples are obedient to Christ. They leave everything right on the spot for Christ, and they are not wrapped up in what their neighbors are going to think about them or if they'll still be invited to the same social functions because of this new lifestyle that they lead. And they're not concerned about the laws of the world except for those ones that Christ espouses. And in other words, the disciples that Jesus calls are not bound by homeowners associations, but they're also not free to move before Jesus calls them to move. Jesus challenges them to ask, is there not more to your life than what you're doing? And he calls them to experience life at his level and at his pace, which it turns out, if you read through the life of Jesus and the disciples together, is way higher and way faster than anything we ever expected when we said yes to the calling of Jesus. The yes to being a disciple, the yes to coming to church, the yes to living a Christ-like life. And to focus it back on our community here, not only in McKinney, but right here in the Bridge, our nature is fine. We try and be excellent in worship. We try and be excellent in many different ways. But overall, when people ask us how our life is going, what do we say? I'm good. I'm fine. I'm okay. Very seldomly is it awesome to just go forth in someone's face and say, I am great today. I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, and I am out serving him. And I just, you're not going to get invited to a lot of parties if that's the way that you start off conversation. Because we have a nature in our community of keeping up with the Joneses. It's our standards. It's our meeting short-term goals so that in the public, in the current situation, we might be seen well in the public light. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's at church, we are saying yes. And we're good at saying yes to worship. We're good at saying yes to church. We're good at saying yes to work. We're good at saying yes to family. We're good at saying yes to sports. We're good at saying yes to a whole lot of things that take up our schedule, but we don't ever ask the question of why are we saying yes to these things? When we look at all the yeses that we give out, we look at and complain about how busy we are, and I just can't get over this, and I don't want to do this, but I have to because that's the way it is. We never really go back to the core of why did we say yes to that lifestyle? And who's dictating our lifestyle? I had a conversation just this morning with somebody who we were talking about how busy we were. That's just the conversation you get from everybody is, I'm so busy. I say this all the time. I'm so busy. And they started talking about, well, if they want to play soccer, they've got to, you know, they've got to practice four nights a week, and then they've got games on Sunday morning and all this kind of stuff. Now, I love soccer. I want to play in adult league. I want my kids to play soccer, and I want to be that soccer parent who yells at the ref and is annoying. Many of you can relate to that. But whoever said we had to live a lifestyle like that? Whoever said soccer had to be like that? Whose standard are we following, and that all of these activities are building up around us that we have to say yes to more than we can handle, more than we can load on our shoulders? That phrase that God never gives you more than he can than you can handle doesn't apply to things that we voluntarily put on ourselves. And so we do all this and we say or think, my life is good. I've got a great house. I've got a great spouse. I've got great kids. I've got a great job. I've got a million different activities I'm involved in. Everybody knows me when I go around town. Life is good. And we're pretty good at taking the initiative, saying yes, before we ever consider the call of Christ. Before we ever ask, well, why am I saying yes to this? So I want you to hear that what I said last week when I said say yes to accept the invitation is absolutely true. Jesus sends us out to do the work. The Holy Spirit is what we bond around to change this world, to take the initiative, to be bold in our discipleship, to risk take in our discipleship, to go until we get a no from God, but not just programs here in the church, but every single moment of our lives. But listen to what you have to say no to from Matthew as you're saying yes. So the first two, there are people like this, I imagine our congregation. Simon, Peter, and Andrew are the fishermen who are seeking fish. They are hard at work. But they're the ones, maybe they had heard of Jesus before, or maybe they had nothing better to do, maybe they were so desperate and distraught in their lives that you notice they just go. They just, you know, they're in the boat, they leave the boat, they just go, and there's very little said about anything other than that they were fishing out there. They were busy doing work, they left, they followed to do Jesus' work. The next disciples are the ones that I think are interesting. And the next disciples are James and John, sons of Zebedee, and they're not simply casting their nets like Simon and Andrew were. They're on the shore mending their nets. And these are the people that I think that we can relate to the most. Because to be on the shore mending their nets means that they did well. It means they had several large hauls of fish to where their nets needed to be fixed. It means they've got a good job. They've got a good family. They're probably their own boss. They're someone who has a great, if well, maybe good life. They're successful. They feed their families well. They're, in a word, fine. And Jesus comes along and has the guts to ask them to be great. And he asks them not to settle for what's fine now, but to look to a vision of the future that is truly eternally great, and to help guide others toward this vision as well. A great life that centers around an eternal rule of love and grace. Things that never go out of style. And things that seldom go unappreciated with others. And Jesus shows them and tells others in Luke that to be great, they have to stop saying yes to so much and simply say yes to him. And to say yes to him means leaving behind fine and leaving behind comfortable and leaving behind life as we know it. Now, there are a lot of us who are fine. We're not looking for much more because the way we see it, we've got it all. What more could our church even need than what we have? What more programs could we need than we ever have? What more in your house could you ever need than what you already have? What more in your family could you need that you don't already have? We've really got everything we need. But the people at Apple right now, which I was told I looked like Steve Jobs today, so this is a good reference. But the people at Apple are right now, even on Sunday morning, looking for a way to convince you that your iPhone and your iPad is going to be obsolete in a couple months, and that you need to buy a newer one because you are way behind with the 4S or the iPad 2 or whatever it is. There are tourism bureaus of thousands of cities trying to convince you that your city is not exciting enough to stay around in, and you need to be in there. If you're really going to experience a great life, you've got to be at their place. And who knows? One of these days, somebody who's sitting around a computer right now is going to convince us that Facebook is not the end-all, be-all of the world. And imagine when that day happens, how many kicking and screaming people will go out of Facebook just the way they went kicking and screaming into Facebook. See, the same way that we go kicking and screaming into change in some of the online world, some of the new products that come out, is kind of the way sometimes, well, I won't even say sometimes, most often the church reacts. Because for some reason, as the church, we like to feel fine. And we like to be comfortable. And we think that we said yes to Jesus once, and all of a sudden, well, I said yes to Jesus once. Why do I got to say yes to Jesus again? I've been through disciple Bible study. Why would I ever want to do it again? I've been on a mission trip. Why would I ever want to do it again? I've been involved in church council. Why would I ever want to do it again? I said yes once, and that really made me feel good, and now I'm in a comfortable place, and that's where I'm really good right now. We don't want to give up what we know, our community, the calling that we've had. A great quote I heard recently is that the only thing that can distract you from what God is calling you to do is what God called you to do beforehand. And you're still sticking with that. We're comfortable with fine. And if that's the case, then I think Scripture tells us that we're not fully saying yes to Jesus. Jesus wants to move us to great. And who else is eternally great but our God? And so to be great, we risk losing what we're comfortable with in our lives. And we have to go along with God's life. We lose what maybe works at the moment and seek of something more perfect that works even better. And then even better after that, more perfect than what we are currently and even what we might get to in the future. And we have to give up our own sacred cows and our past trophies that we earn in order that we might be rewarded with new glories for our God. I want to take a moment and say that I know this sermon is not big on practical advice. This is a more high theoretical lifestyle, way up in the sky sermon that you may be sitting there thinking, he's got a great point. Okay, what do I do about it? And I want to encourage you that those cards that will be passed out by the ushers at the end, the Bridge Challenge, that's one way to start doing something about it. And as we go through Lent, each sermon is going to have some practical tips of, hey, try this week. That'll be something you can do about it. Because there's a lifestyle change that needs to happen if you're going to keep saying yes to Jesus. Because Jesus can't just get 1 or 2 hours of our week, whether in or outside of church. Jesus comes and demands all of it. It's one of the things, my favorite thing that Ed, one time in a meeting, we were talking about, well, people aren't going to do that. They don't have time for that. We don't have that. And Ed stops and he says, look, Jesus doesn't just ask us for 1 or 2 hours. Jesus doesn't care if people aren't going to do it. Jesus asks for everything. I thought he was going to get up and storm out, but after that, but it was this great moment where it just was infatuated our staff with this notion of Jesus demands everything. And how does our life center around Jesus demands everything? And so as we go throughout the next weeks of Lent, I want you to really focus on your life. Because your spirituality and your faith exists more outside of this church than it does inside of this church, at least the building side. Your faith and your spirituality, I hope, exist within relationship of people that you've met in this church and that you support out in the grocery store and you support at work and you have that relationship that goes on Facebook or wherever it happens. I hope that that meaning of church goes out and permeates into your life. But that is where your faith and spirituality resides. This is only a place to get recharged. It's only a place to get educated. It's only a place to get focused. This is not where your faith lies in this building and in this place. And so during Lent, everything is going to be pushing you to rearrange your schedule, pushing you to rearrange your finances, pushing you to rearrange your life and your focus and your priorities, because that's what Jesus demands. And before we get to this sounding like your big corporate bosses that we're all afraid of, the ones who curse our lives and make us work long hours so we can't make our kids' soccer games, before this sounds so heavy and so burdensome that you think of Jesus as a CEO, let me read you this verse from Matthew. And in fact, let's put it on the screen and we're all going to read this together. Read this with me. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to know why this is? Because Jesus asks us to say no to everything else, and yes to one thing, and that is to follow him. And he requires risk, he requires effort, but forgives mistakes and transgressions. He requires commitments, but encourages you to rest and refocus often. And I would bet, as we go throughout Lent, that the more and more that you get into Jesus' terms of discipleship, that the more and more uncomfortable you're going to be with fine. I want to invite the ushers to go ahead and gather in the back for our offering. We've already passed the Love Your Staff offering, and I appreciate everyone who gave to that. Our staff is woefully, works really, really, really hard for what they do, and I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about everybody else. I don't do anything around here. But I want to encourage you to go ahead, and if you have not made your financial pledge for this year, you can do that online if you don't have your pledge card today, as well as just pray about what you give before you give. Don't just do it to say yes to the basket that's going by, but I really want you to know why you give. And so pray about the money that you're going to put in the basket, knowing that it's going to do the mission of God in the world. And so let's pray over this as we take in. Gracious God, we say yes to you in many different ways, and one of these ways is happening right now. But before we simply just say yes and we add another burden to our bottom line sheets, before we say yes to another program or a new Bible study, before we say yes to some other thing the church is offering, let us consider why we say yes, so that we might be centrally focused on you and that we might not just crowd up our lives with more and more busy stuff that is religious and that is great. But let us be faithful disciples that have one singular focus, and that is to preach your way, to show your way, and do your way in the world. And so, God, we ask that the money that was taken up today not simply be blessed for your work in the world, but it would be a blessing to those people who give it. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.